welcome back to the Constitutionals Podcast. I'm your host, Chad White. If you didn't know, this is the premier podcast for the website, cpluscomedy.com. Like I just said, it's a website. Go there. We are back. In this episode's, that's not the title, don't worry, of the Constitutionals, here we are, doing another podcast. As things go on a weekly basis, although I missed the posting for this one, but it's neither here nor there. This is what happens when life gets in the way. You know, when life gives you lemons. You take and you make lemonade. That's not the saying. But we are short on time, so let's go ahead and do this. You know what? Actually, I got something to talk about before we start anything. I saw Dune 2. It's a rare Chad goes out to the movies on a Friday, on a premiere day for a movie. It did not go at night. Thank goodness this movie is big enough for me to be able to go, for it to be playing all day long, and for them to finally open up the movie theater at 11 o'clock at a reasonable hour so I can see a movie at 11:15. Was 11:45? It was 11:45. At 11:45. Because the first showing was at 10:30 in the regular. I spent the money on Dolby Cinema. I had a $5 voucher. I had $5 reward points. And then I immediately earned another $5 because that's how close I was. Some might say, hey, you go to the movies often. Not often. But you go to the movie more regular than the regular person. More regularly than a regular person. Why don't you spring for AMC A-List? At one point, I did have it. A couple years ago. And then I dropped it. And then they said 6 months until you can sign back up. And I was like, okay, fair play. I'm never signing up again. I think of it like I don't know how to put this. There's a dog park that is a chain, I guess. But there's a dog park called Fetch. There's the dog over there. If you're watching the video, he's on the couch as when he should not be. Hold on. There we go. Actually, I'd probably just tilt the thing over there because I know how to do that now. There you go. Anyway, I'm gonna get a monitor arm so I can put the monitor on an arm. Am I in the middle? Who cares? It's called Fetch, and it's a dog park where you can buy alcohol, essentially. I'm not there for the alcohol. I'm there. Main reason. Now, there is a dog park inside my complex. We do have a dog park. I do not take Maverick down there anymore because the people that go there, the people that live here, are so uppity about their dogs. They're all their golden doodles. They're $7,000 dogs. They come in here. Maverick's a pit. He's a pit mix. He was on the street. He loves this cat. He loves me. All he wants to do, he hates walking. All he wants to do is play. Truly, his entire life is built around playing. I get home, he wants to play. We go outside, he wants to play. He's one. Also, I want to do and play. And these people that live here, if he even looks in their direction, they're like running, which is true. I'm not joking. Like people truly run from him, or they'll pick up. Or like if he starts playing with their dog in a way that they don't like, then they'll, which you should not do, pick up their dog, no matter how big it is, and like, get your dog away from me, which has happened twice. Which is why I'm saying, it's turning to Adam Sandler. Anyway, it's called Fetch, and I live nearby, so I can drive or I can walk. I take him over there, but I like going over there. You have to pay to get in, which sucks. Which is what I'll get to. It'll come back, relate back to AMC in a second. But you have to pay it again. It's like $10, or you do $275 a year, which works out to about $5 a week or $22 per month. And then there's also a monthly, which is $35 per month. It's kind of expensive. But the reason I like going there is because every dog has to be up to date on vaccinations, on sickness and all that stuff. You can't bring in outside toys. You can't bring in outside food, which is wonderful. The app sucks. The app is crap. Anyway, if I figure, and this is how we'll relate back to AMC in a second, AMC A-List. I'm already part of AMC A-List Premier, which is like the second tier down, which is like $15 a year. Then you still get the same benefits as AMC A-List, such as, you know, $5 popcorn or whatever. I mean, it's not, that's not it, but that's what you get, as well as some other stuff. Or, you know, double benefits or what have you. My phone just told me that it's done charging. I have it charged to 80%, and then tell me, but we're going to let it go to 100 today. No big deal. You know, it's S23 Ultra. But I do, the thing is, if I go to Fetch, and I don't want to pay the yearly thing because I don't have $225 immediately, and I don't want to pay the monthly thing, but it's $10 per day per visit that you show up. So if I take him there once a week and for 3 weeks, that's $30 versus the $35, which I could take him every single day, but it still roughly equals out the same thing. So saying that for the movies, if I go to the movie and I pay the AMC A-List is $28. If I go to two Tuesdays and, you know, some other time during the week, it all kind of evens out. How long was that? 5 minutes. Great. The show's 30. Let's get to it. This comes from Variety, written by Todd Spangler. Apple TV Plus adds 50-plus licensed movies that are now available to stream. For a limited time until I think it's April 30th, Apple TV Plus is allowing you to stream movies like The Bodyguard and Jurassic World and Gravity and Mad Max Fury Road. There's no rhyme or reason to what movies they chose. I am so sorry for hitting the mic. But they chose a lot of good movies. A lot of movies I own. 300, Titanic, own it. Jurassic World, own it. Gravity, Fast and Furious 6, Kill Bill, Volume 1 and 2, Star Trek. Like, these are all movies I own. It's wild. It's very funny. So it's not for me. But one important thing is that a lot of these are in 4K with Dolby Atmos. Or if they have Dolby Atmos, but a lot of them are in the highest degree of being able to watch. We don't know why they're doing these, why they license these films. They added a bunch of movies for the 2024 Oscar season, which is a celebration of filmdom and movie stars, I guess. They already do have licensed movies on there, wherein like they buy and acquire the rights to movies to put them on Apple TV Plus. So periodically before this, you would have seen, you know, if they were going to launch a Mark Wahlberg movie, then you would have seen movies like The Happening, like what was it, Family Plan? I think that's what it was called. The movie I watched the Friday it came out. And have no recollection of. I enjoyed it. Shot in Atlanta. Or the Switch? Is that what it's called? No, I think it might be Family Plan. I'm not going to look it up. I'm rattled. But if it's going to be a Mark Wahlberg movie, then they'll have movies like The Happening. They'll put movies like The Other Guys. You know, they'll bring in movies that relate to whatever topic is at hand. Netflix does third-party programming all the time. Every other streamer does this. Apple, for some reason, does not. And I think it kind of plays in their favor. I think for Apple, it's not a necessity. They can charge, they can be cheaper than the competition. They can charge $10 a month as opposed to Netflix's, I think, lowest price now is $15 or so. Max's lowest is $10 per month, but with ads. They don't need to have a smattering of third party things, because when you go to Apple TV Plus, it feels like a destination viewing type thing. When I turn on YouTube TV, I have a whole litany of things to be able to watch. Like right now, TV is a flashing in the background, and it's on Star Trek: The Next Generation, because that's on BBC America. It just happens to be on in the morning, and I just happen to want to put it on television. Before that, I was watching the news. Later today, I'll be watching The Simpsons. At some point tonight, I'll be watching whatever is going to be on at 8 p.m. The same thing goes for Netflix. Actually, I should not choose Netflix because I think a majority of, this is very interesting, a majority of the things I watch on Netflix and the majority of the things on my list, which I think is now eclipsed 40 or 50, happens to be, I won't look up Family Plan, but I'll go to netflix.com/browse and click on Chad. Okay. Let me mute the TV. Let me mute the computer. What is this Hot Wheels Less Race? What is this? This looks like something I put on by accident and then continue watching. But a majority of the things that are on my list happen to be Netflix branded shows and movies, with the exception of a handful of things like The Dragon Quest, Adventure of Dai, and The Woman King, and Gran Turismo. Everything else truly has the inn in the corner. And The First Purge. I gotta work my way through the Purge series. And it's something I notice, but then when I go to Peacock, you know, not everything I watch on there is NBC branded. In fact, FBI is on there. It is still part of Dick Wolf's thing, but still. I just took something off the list because I know I completed it. You know, I fell asleep during The Pope's Exorcist. This is how fun I am. On a Saturday night, I was watching that movie at like 9 or 9:30, and I fell asleep. At like 8 or 8:30, I fell asleep. And then I woke up, and I was like, I got to get out of the house. So I went to a bar, but I don't know where I was on that movie. So now I have to rewatch it. It was pretty boring. But Apple is not in need of these because they have so many great shows. They have Monarch. They have great movies like that one with Tom Hanks that's set in the future with he's with the robot. And I was about to spoil the end of the movie. All right, these next two stories are kind of in conjunction with each other. They both come from CNBC. The first one is written by Ryan Anastasio. Sony to lay off 900 workers from PlayStation Division, or 8% of units global workforce. This other one comes from Alex Kohler at CNBC. EA to lay off 5% of workforce, or about 670 employees. We are seeing a retraction in not just the tech sector, not just the media sector, in the gaming sector. We're seeing it everywhere. A retraction in employees. People are being laid off and let go. And it doesn't seem like right now there's a rhyme or reason to it, with the exception that a lot of these companies are trying to hit margins, is what it feels like, is that they're trying to, they see what happens in Q4 and then they just kind of want to bolster up those Q1 numbers, the Q4 of 2023, and they want to bolster up the Q4 numbers, it's Q1 numbers of 2024 to show investors, hey, we still got it going on. So Sony Interactive Entertainment, you might know as the PlayStation people. They saw these giant layoffs. The company shares plunged sharply after the forecast of PlayStation 5 forecasts went down to 21 million units, as opposed to 25 million units is what they were initially saying that they were going to sell. Analysts had anticipated that Sony could move to release a refreshed version of PS5 this year, seeking to boost interest in the console. What's interesting is that for PlayStation, there are rumors that there's going to be a Pro model. They released a Slim model, but they're in the lead when it comes, in quotes, to this whole gaming console race thing, and even they are struggling. What really is sticking in their craw, to put it you know, mildly, is that when the PlayStation 5, and the same thing goes for Microsoft for the Xbox Series X, when those launched, it just so happened to be during the pandemic, because they were already producing those consoles. It just happened to be during a pandemic, and people were unable to buy the consoles when they need it. And then supply chain was all screwed up. And now it's still kind of, it used, I mean, up until what, last year, it was so difficult to get a PS5. You kind of, they still had to do drops at Walmarts and Amazon and stuff. I don't know, because I got mine in 2021. And then 3 months later, I think. No, I got my Xbox in 2021 in like March or something. And then like 2 or 3 months later, I got a PS5. And I was like, I gotta take these chances right now. Whenever they do those console refreshes, like the, you know, the PS4 Slim or the Xbox Slim or whatever, I never take advantage, or the Xbox Pro. I don't know, PS4 Pro. I don't know, who cares? I never take advantage of those, because I always just go, I have the regular thing and it works. And yes, it's a little bit slower than this, but you know, it's not by much. And now let's go to the EA thing. They're dropping about 13,400 workers. And what's more important is that they're losing out on some games. There's a Star Wars game that was just outright canceled, which I was looking forward to. It's going to be a third-person game. I think that's like the third or fourth Star Wars game to be canceled in the past couple of years. Yeah, it's... I truly don't know in the gaming industry how this is going to, I mean, affect the long term. You know, eventually we're just going to be dealing with what it seems like is a bunch of loot based online games. Stuff where, you know, we're not getting a lot of single player things. We're not getting a lot of things that games that are coming out complete when they release. And you can point to Cyberpunk, you can point to No Man's Sky. Those have turned themselves around. But what I'm saying is we're not getting a lot of finished games. We're getting, you know, Suicide Squad, and it's coming out, and then they're going to promise free updates or DLC or whatever. But they expect you to play and replay the same levels over and over again to get better weapons, to get better loadout, to get this. And it's not just with Suicide Squad. It's with other games. Apex Legends, Battlefield, Madden, NBA, 2K. Games used to be complete before this internet generation. And now we're missing out on full experiences because, you know, this game, whose servers are going to get shut down in 5 years, if we're lucky, is coming out halfway done or a third of the way done. Or two-thirds of the way done, rather. If I pull out, you know, if I'm making chicken and I pull it out of the oven or off the stove before it's done, it's going to be pink in the middle. And that's what a lot of these games are, is that they're just raw and a lot of broken things. And I'd rather have a game, even if it's going to be a franchise in the future, but I'd rather have a game that comes out complete and unbroken than to have to deal with, I didn't log in to play Suicide Squad today. I don't know why, I don't want to pick on Suicide Squad, but it also happens to be the game of the moment that I'm thinking about. I don't want to have to miss a login for, you know, 2-3 weeks because I'm out here playing a different game and I come back to it, and I remember the controls, but there's 40 new weapons and they've taken out things, they've added things in. I bought Immortals of Avium. I think that's what it's called. Yeah, Immortals of Avium. And that came out late August 2023. There was a sale. It was $5. The $70 game was $5 in like December. Because I guess it just didn't sell well. But I bought it because it's a game I'm interested in. Even if I take into account reviews where they go, it's boring or it's like rote or it's the same thing over and over again. At least it's a single player game. From EA, mind you, but it's a single player game that's just doing what it's supposed to be doing and being a single player game, and not asking you to come back 20 times. That's kind of like a dying genre, the single player fun game. Yesterday I was playing God of War 2018. It's taken me, I'm not kidding, I've had that game since maybe 2020 or 2021. I've had that game for a very long time. It takes me so long to piecemeal, just to play through a game, because sometimes I'm not feeling it. Like I turned that one on. I had not played it. It is still on my PS5. I have not played it since April 2023. I think about it all the time because I want to play Ragnarok, which is going to take me another 5 years to play. But it's still on my PS5. It's I've never deleted it. The day I got my PS5, I downloaded it, and then I was like, I moved the save over from the cloud, from the PS4 over to the PS5, and I was like, I'm done. And the same thing goes for Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2. Is that what it's called? I don't know. My sister bought that for me for my birthday. The last time I played it was November 2023. Then I turned on the Switch yesterday, blew the dust off it. Because I was busy playing Pokemon. But Pokemon and Fire Emblem, another game, Fire Emblem, not Engage, which I have, the one before, Three Houses. That's taken me forever to get through too. It's because I think it's because when I was a child, I didn't get a lot of games often, and so I would get like one game and then play the crap out of it over and over and over and over again. Or if I had two games, then I'd take forever to play one so I could play another one, and then I would know those two games back and front, like Super Smash Bros. Melee. I know that game back to front. But now that I'm an adult and I have all these games I own, and then plus Game Pass or PlayStation Plus or Nintendo Switch Online, or games you get free on PC, I'm flummoxed. What am I gonna do? What game am I gonna play? Now I actually have to sit down. I made a list for TV shows and movies, and now I have a list for video games. It's at 6, so I'm only allowed to play 6 at a time. Different, and they're all different. Once I beat Pokemon Scarlet, took it right off the list. Plus the post game took forever. The post game took me forever. Oh my god. I like that game, but it's got a lot of issues. But right now on that list is like The Quarry, which is a game that I love, that genre of game, which is like you participate in movies. Like not participate in movies, but it's like a horror game or something like that. I can't even download. Oh, because the Wi-Fi is not working on the iPad for some reason. Whatever. What else is on there? Oh, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. I'm in the post game for that too. I'm in the DLC for that. All right, let's move on. And this final thing comes from, I was going to save this for LinkedIn logs, but I think because it is in my wheelhouse, but this also fits on the spectrum of whatchamacallit. What is this? What do I do to the constitutionals? All right. So this is from The Hill, written by Jonathan Turley. CBS faces uproar after seizing investigative journalists' files. So CBS, Paramount, they had some layoffs a couple of weeks ago. One of the caught up in the layoffs was a very good reporter, Catherine Herridge, who was reporting on some. Hold on. She was included in the layoffs, which was unflattering, to say the least, for Paramount. But this comes from Jonathan. I had to look back up and see if that was his name. Those concerns of the layoff have increased after CBS CBS officials took the unusual step of seizing her files, computers, and records, including information on privileged sources. The position of CBS has alarmed many, including the union, as an attack on free press principles by one of the nation's most esteemed press organizations. She was reporting, I believe, Don't quote me on this. She was reporting on the White House. Let me see what she was actually doing. Oops. I believe that her final story that she was working on was she was reporting on the White House. And anyway, the big issue is that now SAG has come out. This comes from Deadline, written by Ted Johnson, that they were condemning what CBS had done. CBS returned her files, and they also weren't pressing her for the source. They were trying to get her to also reveal her source for some of the story. Let me read what happened before. They took her files and all that stuff. They were trying to determine what was proprietary information, and said, and Jonathan wrote that Herridge, quote, was pursuing stories that were unwelcome by the Biden White House and many Democratic powerhouses. Then SAG obviously took umbrage with what happened with the seizing of her records and everything. In a statement, SAG, after the files were returned, SAG after said that they were, quote, pleased to confirm that earlier today a representative of our union monitored the return of several boxes containing Catherine Herridge's reporting materials from her CBS News office in Washington, D.C. Herridge is currently reviewing the materials. We welcome CBS News' reversal, which came after SAG-AFTRA's intervention and widespread media coverage that underscored shared concerns about press freedom and the First Amendment. So we talk about how in the First Amendment, it's not just something that MAGA people say. In the First Amendment, we talk, there's a discussion of free speech that also extends to not just, you know, these idiots saying that they want to, you know, be able to say racist things, but also extends to the freedom of the press, the people who report the news. And if CBS laid somebody off and just so happened that she was working on a story, and not, because I'm not saying those things are one-to-one, but it just so happened that she was working on a story for the current administration just because they didn't like what was happening. And then they took her files and notes and everything, it makes it seem like there's collusion between the news and the people who are supposed to be protecting us or, you know, governing our votes or what have you, whatever the government does. And it really puts everything in a bad spotlight. It's good that they returned this, but this should raise questions about what's going on at CBS News. Why do they feel the need to, and they can say, why do they feel, let me finish the thought. Why do they feel the need to take her information, all that stuff, and then press her for the sources for a certain story? Why would they have to do that? The thing is, they shouldn't have to do that. She, when they laid her off, maybe the story's killed. You don't need the info. You don't need any of that stuff. And I guess the outside person, they could say, hey, well, all that information was probably sitting on her laptop that they provided for her. But that's still her story. They have no reason to look at any of that information. Because it almost seems as though she was let go because of that story. And it was just masked in the guise of a layoff, of a company-wide layoff. That's not the case. I also like how in this Hill piece written by Jonathan, he says, full disclosure that he was under contract twice with CBS as a legal analyst. And he cherishes time with the network. And he's known Herridge for years in both legal and journalistic capacities. So it's not a one-sided thing. This should, like, if I'll put it this way. If this had happened at Fox News, which Herridge did happen to work at Fox News, in fact, she is still in court defending confidentiality over a series of stories at Fox News in 2017, even at the risk of being held in contempt. Interesting. But if this happened when she was at Fox News, everybody would still be paying attention to it, because again, that would still be deafening in terms of freedom of speech. Jonathan also points out, when Deep Throat, you remember Deep Throat, was that during the I'm not a crook. What is his name? Nixon. Was that during the Nixon era? Watergate. When they agreed to disclose his identity, when Deep Throat agreed to disclose his identity to Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein, he was assured that they will protect it until his death. And to this day, I still don't think people know who it is. But, I mean, that's the thing. Your sources are protected. Your story, the facts are protected. None of this should have ever happened. It should not even be a question. CBS should have never even done this. And maybe they're just trying to, count their bases. Is that what they're going to do? Cover their bases? I was going to say count their bases. But in the end, it looked very, what's the term I'm looking for? It looked very, I don't want to say deaf, tone deaf, I guess. It looked like they weren't doing their job when Catherine was. And now, if the fight had continued, and thank goodness it did not, but if the fight had continued, all those people working for CBS that are under SAG, then they could have walked out. They could have posted a strike, because the union would come first above their employer. And nobody would bat an eye. Nobody would bat an eye. All right. We did it. Listen, if you like what you heard here, head to the website C+ Comedy, where I'm talking to your favorite people in the entertainment industry. Who do we talk to this past week? After this episode is posted, you will see the audio version of an interview I did with none other than Ashley Ray. She's a great comedian. We just talked about Ice Cream Money, her new album that is out. She's a very funny person. I've read, she used to be a reviewer for a couple of websites, including the AV Club. And I pulled up a story. She mentioned that she written for like all the black shows for that. And I went and I remembered there's a very specific review that I remember from Blackish. And I just went, "Did you write this review?" And she's like, "That's me." And I was like, "I remember it." Because it's a very specific thing. I'm not good at math, but I can call up a review from a website from like 7 years ago. Okay. If you want to see a video version of that interview, go to youtube.com/C+comedy, where you can also see video versions of this podcast, as well as the other podcast, Late Night Lately, which is the late night show, and the LinkedIn Logs, which is the Jobs podcast. I forgot to start this before I meant to do any of that stuff. It's great. I love doing this. Oh no, it's not starting. Oh, because the Wi-Fi is, oh jeez. I don't know what to do. This is so bad. There's something going on with the iPad. The Wi-Fi is not connected, and now I can't start songs on here, and I don't want to do it over the computer because that's too much work. What are you doing, iPad? Okay, here we go. Ready. Now I've got to do this for at least a minute. Now I've got to talk for at least a minute. Okay, what else? What else is going on? I also talked to a very funny comedian. His name is Ahmed Al-Kadri. Now, if you listen to the audio version of that interview and in the intro, I screwed up his name 70 times. No less than 70 times. So please, go check out that interview with Ahmed Al-Kadri as well. Ashley Ray, coming at you after this. Find us on social media, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at C+ Comedy. Oh, and TikTok. Me, at Chad Black White. Thank you so much. Goodbye.